But we know God's doing a great thing. That's why I'm talking this month to you on the theme of boundless. Everybody say boundless. I'm talking about boundless because I just believe that the Lord wants to break the bounds and expand and do amazing things through us and through you, in and through the life of the church and you and your family. So we're kind of beginning today with encouragement toward our 21-day prayer and fasting that we will begin next week. We're going to go from January the 9th through the 29th on 21 days of prayer and fasting. So today and next Sunday, I'm going to be encouraging us toward our fast, our time of fasting. I don't know if you've had a lot of experience with fasting, but we want to make sure that we begin the very beginning of 2022 engaged in seeking Jesus and making sure that he has the first fruits of our year and that he has our attention so we can be changed and seek after him. Amen, guys? So I'm talking about boundless, and today more specifically, becoming boundless. Everybody say that with me. Say becoming boundless. Okay, now there's very specific reason I'm talking this month about being boundless. It's because too many of God's people, I'm just really kind of reflecting upon last year, too many of God's people are kind of accustomed and conditioned to live with the mindset that they are bound and limited in scope and in vision and ability. It's because of so many things that's happened over the past couple of years, so many things that has happened to you individually and in your family. And so this morning, I want to begin over the next couple of weeks talking about this spiritual journey into prayer and fasting to break the bounds and to help us expand our faith and expand our understanding to know that in him, all things are possible. Right. Amen. Right. And in him, there really are no limits. Jesus himself said all things are possible. So I'm encouraging us toward our effort in the upcoming church-wide 21-day time of prayer and fasting. That's what this message is all about. But also, in the new year, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to join me and Karen in a brand new kind of mindset. A walk of faith, an adventure that really transcends any nominal, ho-hum life of merely existing and getting by. I'm believing for change this year. See, in this new year, I'm believing for God to do wonderful things in your life, in your family, and in the life of the church. So instead of approaching God's vision and our great spiritual purposes, church, through lenses of borders and limits, I challenge us beginning today for the new year to dream bigger for God than we ever have before. Can you receive that this morning? I challenge you to dream big for God. I encourage you today to engage Christ and experience his presence like you never have before in the new year. I challenge and encourage you, and I invite you with this. I invite you to do things for God that last forever. Amen? I invite you to do things for God in this year that last forever. So I challenge you to dream big. I encourage you to engage Christ and experience him with greater depth than ever. And I invite you to finally step out in faith and begin to do the kind of things that last forever, church. Why? Because this is what the people of God should do. We do things that last beyond the temporal day-to-day existence of just squeaking by. Our efforts as the body of Christ and our words are meant to penetrate darkness and bring hope and light into people for the great cause of Christ. So this year, that's what we're going to do. Come on, somebody. We're going to dream big for God. We're going to experience Jesus with enriched depth and intimacy with him. And we're going to do the great works for him that we were created to do. This is what 2022 is all about. Thank God. Amen. So really, in this new year, it begins with a self-evaluation, making sure that Jesus is at the very center of every part of our lives. Amen. That's really how we should begin this new year. Right here today on this first Sunday of 2022, we should begin today looking inside and preparing our hearts and lives to spend this time of prayer and fasting, seeking him and experiencing him and receiving him into our lives. And so we begin this process starting today and into next week with our fast. The very first thing I want to teach this morning, and the idea that I want to really impart to you as we begin talking today, as we prepare for fasting, is here. And I'm going to really set some people free with this idea, this concept today, if you'll get a hold of it, is that fasting and prayer is not a pass or fail scenario. Let me make sure we understand that. Fasting is not a pass or fail situation. So many people get discouraged about fasting that they end up giving up in the process because they've been taught to believe that you either get it right or you get it wrong. But while God certainly, really, he expects fasting to be a sacrifice for us, he's much more concerned today with your motives and your heart than he is with whether or not your performance in fasting is perfect. Make sure we understand this. Fasting is all about making sure our heart is toward Jesus. Amen. It's not about getting it perfect. And so many people get discouraged because they feel like, well, I messed up, or I went backwards, and I have to give up on my time of fasting because, well, I just got it wrong, and now I've got to give up and start all over again. But listen, your fasting, please hear me on this. Your fasting, church, doesn't reveal how perfect you already are. It reveals what you're already hungry for. I got to say it one more time, guys, because we need to make sure we understand this moving into this time of prayer. And I'm teaching this morning in preparation for our spiritual time of fasting. Your fasting does not reveal how to God how perfect you already are. Your fasting reveals what you're hungry for. Yeah. Amen? Okay, and so we understand that Jesus had a lot to say about this, but I want to kind of hinge this message on Matthew 5 and 6. And here's what the Lord said in Matthew chapter 5. He said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Yeah. See, the idea this morning that I hope to really get across within you is based in this scripture. It causes us to ask the question, what is it that we're really hungry and thirsty for? Right. And as you enter this new year, we need to begin by evaluating and answering that question. What is it that we are truly thirsty for? The text says that we'll be filled when we hunger and thirst for righteousness. Yeah. But men and women of God, please hear me on this. I'm going to try to really stay slow today and teach this because I want us to really get a hold of this leading into our prayer time. When we read Matthew 5 and 6, it's important to know that it's not just an encouragement for us to live better. There's so much more to understanding here than meets the eye. See, so many people stay bound and stay limited because they see their walk with God as a pass or fail scenario based on how well they do their religion. Are y'all getting with me yet, guys? They think that, you know, they'll finally find peace and be filled by how well they align with that do this and don't do that world of religious observances. And if they get enough right today and avoid enough wrong today, then they can appease God and achieve enough righteousness to finally be filled. It's a faulty way of thinking. But most people who grow up in the South, particularly in some certain kinds of churches, are filled and conditioned with this religious mindset that in order to get anything from God, there's stuff you've got to do. But the concept here is very simple. If you're going to approach the Lord from a spiritual perspective, you and I need to understand exactly what he did for us on a spiritual level. See, his presence and his provision in your life does not hinge upon how much you get right or wrong. His provision in our life hinges on our faith and great belief and reliance upon the sacrifice that he made so that we could believe in him and become what we were not. Come on, somebody. This is the crux of fasting and prayer, and it's going to take us to a new level and take you and your family to a new level in the new year. It's that cycle. Well, did I get it right or did I get it wrong today? How do I feel about my performance before God today? It's a religious mix-up. See, this is how religion keeps people, precious people, in bonds. Because it's a system that's based on your own ability to be righteous. And when you do well, you pass. But when you do badly, you fail and have to start over again trying to appease the Lord. It's a cycle of frustration. You know it is. How many of you have ever told the Lord, I'll never do it again? Come on. How many of y'all lied to Jesus when you did that? Amen. You know that this pass or fail mentality when it comes to relating to God does not work. In that system, that religious system that most of us were brought up in, it keeps you bound, it keeps you trying, it keeps you with a cap on your life, your mindset, your understanding. You will cap off right about here because you just try to do better and fail. You try to do better and fail. You try to do better and you try to do and do and do. And you're wrapped up in that religious cycle. You know what? God does not intend for you to be right here. God intends for you to be way up here with your mindset on things that... That cycle of frustration, it stifles your spiritual growth, your development, and your level of closeness with Jesus. Are y'all ready to get free from that this morning, somebody? I understand this morning that a lot of us still think, now listen, I don't want anybody to get me wrong. Holiness is still God's standard of living for his people. Amen? And we won't compromise from this pulpit ever. The demand of the Lord and the Word of God for us to determine to live right before God. But I'll tell you this right here, right now. Your relationship status and your level of growth in the Lord, His availability to you, does not hinge on how successful you are at getting all right all the time. Amen. Here's the answer. This is the answer this morning that will break the religious cycle in this new year and open the door for high levels of dreaming, experiencing, and doing. Come on. Everybody say dreaming. Everybody say experiencing. Everybody say doing. You want a new level of dreaming, experiencing, and doing in God and for God. Here it is, breaking this religious cycle today. Here it is. Please listen to me. Everybody lean in. Here's the statement of the day. Righteousness is not an achievement. Righteousness is a person. Hear me now. Righteousness is not an achievement. Righteousness is a person. Righteousness is Jesus. Jesus is the only one who is righteous. You cannot achieve what he died to give you. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they are the ones who will be filled. The scripture might as well have said this. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for Jesus. But they're the ones who will be filled. Somebody listen to me. Hunger for him. Hunger and thirst for the one who loves you so much that he traded his righteous condition for our sin, that we might become a different condition before God. He became sin so that you and I could become the righteousness of God in Christ. You can't do it. He's already done it. Amen. Somebody get free from it. Notice the disposition of the psalmist. And as we self-evaluate this morning, notice psalmist in 42 of Psalm 1 and 3 is something that you're all familiar with, but it gives us a good measuring stick for our own hunger and thirst for God. Psalm 42 and 1. And you know this. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for you, O God, the living God. When shall I appear and come before God? You listen to the longing of the heart, the hunger and the thirst of the psalmist. He says, when will I finally see you? When will I finally be with you? When will I finally get to experience you? Notice the desire, the thirst, the hunger. I'm panting. I just desire to be with you, Jesus. Verse 3, he said, look at what he says. My tears have been my food day and night while they continually say to me, where is God? Where is your God? My tears are my food. Notice these words. These words cause us to examine our own hearts and ask the most vital question. What does my soul thirst for? What does my soul thirst for? See, for many, they're looking for some condition in life. They're looking for some scenario that has to come to pass before they can finally feel fulfilled. For some, it's that perfect relationship. For others, it's that particular status in the community. Maybe it's a level of education or a certain financial goal. And before they believe that that they can have peace, rest, and fulfillment can come into their life. They've got to meet these things in their life. They say something like, well, if I can only experience the perfect spouse, I'll be fulfilled. If only I can experience admiration and respect from the people around me. If only I can experience achieving the right kind of knowledge, I can finally land that job that's going to help me be fulfilled. If only I can experience having enough money to get the things that I really want, then maybe I can be happy and fulfilled. And let's not forget those precious people who are already in the religious community, those who already know that the world system of fulfillment is broken, those church people. They might say this, if only I can finally forgive that person who has done me wrong, I might be fulfilled. If only I could finally overcome this issue that's been holding me back all this time. If only I could stop doing the thing that I promised God I wouldn't do anymore. I could finally achieve the righteousness that will cause me to be fulfilled. And the cycle continues. Church, because hungering and thirsting for anything other than the one who loves without measure and gives grace to the humble. Hungering and thirsting for anything other than Jesus, the one who loves you enough to give his life. Hungering and thirsting for the presence of the Father who loves you so much that he gave his Son. Thirsting for anything other than him is a waste of your life. It's a waste of your time. It's a waste of your life. That's why I'm so passionate about that in this new year. I just believe with all of my heart that when we learn the power of the prayer, Jesus, give me more of you. This place is going to become so oily, so milky with the presence and the provision of God. But church, we got to get hungry for Jesus. That's why we seek and pursue his heart. Because he said in John chapter 4, and you know the story. He's offering himself. He's offering the water to the woman at the well. And he said, when you drink from the water that I give, you shall never thirst again. This is the experience that we need. To experience. Not conditions and scenarios that come with empty promises of peace and fulfillment. We thirst for him because the experience we need is an experience with the Father who loves us. Church, in 2022, listen to me. I'm making some big statements today, but please hear them. In this new year, it's time to experience God, not just appease God. Hear me now. You want to break the cycle and finally climb to your new level, your next place of development, your next place of growth and fulfillment. It's time to break the cycle of trying to do enough and do better and be better to appease God and get so passionate about experiencing his presence and his touch and his power in your life that you just know every day that I'm changed by the power of the living God, that I can feel him. I know that he's near me. I've called on him. I've made his name known, and he's faithful to show up and bless my life and bless my family and bless my ministry. It's just what God does when we get passionate about him and we step toward him. He gets passionate about us and starts stepping toward. Y'all ain't hear me this morning. Come on. Hear me now. Here's the thing. We're starting this experience with prayer because we have to reveal what's going on. Your fasting life and our prayer life over the next, starting on the 9th, the next 21 days. It really is not to reveal how perfect you already are. Let's get free from that. And I've been through that personally in my life plenty of times. How many know what I'm talking about this morning? The enemy, the world, your religious background, you can start a fast and you're just really fired up and determined and you just know that God's finally going to bless you. You're going to have great success. You have a good day or two. Anybody here did listen to me now? Now, I'll tell you, my downfall is usually in the form of little Debbies. I got to be honest with you, little Debbies that kill you. And all of a sudden, the religious condemnation and the guilt that comes on your life, that cap on your spiritual growth of, well, I just didn't make it. I didn't make it. You know what God's more concerned about is this. He's more concerned about your pursuit and your passion toward him than he is how perfect you are at achieving righteousness through your fast. I want y'all to receive that this morning. Amen? Because the first thing you're going to do, be tempted to do in your fasting, is you're going to be tempted to start comparing yourself with others and yourself with the previous experiences that you've had. Listen, God's going to bless your effort and he's going to show up and bless your life. It has to be a sacrifice. Don't get me wrong. It has to be a sacrifice. Somebody say a good amen right there. It has to be a sacrifice, but it does not have to be a religious roller coaster for your life.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's about experiencing him, not achieving something. So real quick, let me just give you three amazing benefits of fasting and prayer. I'm going to fly through these. For those of you taking notes, it's just three thoughts very quickly. Number one, fasting fills life's empty spaces. Can y'all see that on your screen? Fasting fills life's empty spaces. Most of us are searching for something. We're searching for a condition. We're searching for a feeling. We're searching for something to be fulfilled to make us feel like we've reached something or done something or reached a level. But listen, everything that we're searching for, all the empty spaces of life, fasting enables us to experience and practice the reliance upon God by which he comes in and fills the empty holes in our life. So whatever it is that you're discontent with, that you're disgruntled about, that you're frustrated with, the period of fasting will cause God to come in and pour himself into those empty places in your life. He's adding himself and adding his blessing into your life when you sacrifice to seek him. Jesus said this in Matthew 6:33. You all know that. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. See, when we seek him first, he begins to add. Aren't you glad about that? Right? He fills life's empty spaces. Number two, fasting attunes your life to Christ. It attunes your life to him. He said in his word, he said this in John chapter 10, verse 27. He's teaching about his voice. He says, my sheep hear my voice. Look at these conditions. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. This really describes a fasting relationship between you and God. When you fast, we become attuned to his voice. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go very long without being able to identify the voice of the Lord in my life. But you better believe that the world has clutter and the world has suggestions and the world has too much of this and that. So many of us are just eat up with an unhealthy addiction to entertainment with our telephones and our social media and things like that. All these things trying to weed its way into our lives and interrupt the voice of God in our life. Listen, on our fast, I can challenge you guys. Don't just make it about food. Get off of Facebook a little bit. Come on. Put the phone down a little bit. Make sure that you're hearing his voice. Look what he said. He said, they know my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Look what he does. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Your fasting experience should attune your life to Jesus. And number three, fasting produces supernatural results. It's a wonderful story. In Matthew chapter 17, there's a precious man there who has a son who's been harassed by a demon. It's a great spiritual condition that's actually moving into his life and causing this spiritual condition, causing physical harm to his son. And he brings his son to the disciples, and the disciples had already been given authority over the supernatural realm by Jesus in Matthew chapter 10. But for some reason here in this moment, the Matthew 10 authority did not work on this spiritual condition. Follow me here for just a moment. Amen. And the disciples went and he brought them to the disciples, but they couldn't do anything about helping this spiritual problem. They couldn't cast the demon out. And Jesus is going to teach them about that. See, he had already given them the authority, but they weren't powerful enough to move that mountain. There had to be an added spiritual discipline to their lives so that the supernatural could finally work through them. And in Matthew 17 and 19, the Bible says, then the disciples came to Jesus privately. And they said, Why could we not cast it out? And Jesus is very explicit with his answer. He said in verse 20, he said to them, because of your unbelief. For assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, move here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. But then Jesus goes on in verse 21, and he even interrupts this, and he's going to show us that sometimes supernatural problems require a higher level of authority and power in our life. Jesus said this. He said, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. If you're facing a situation in your life where there's a great supernatural, a great spiritual need, maybe it's spiritual warfare. You're being harassed by devils, demons, the enemy, and it just seems like everywhere you go, you can't get through. You may be under a spiritual attack that fasting can break through for you. Amen. You are someone that you love. See, mountain-moving faith comes through fasting and prayer. Amen. Notice this. Fasting and prayer causes you to have an increase in supernatural power in God. Can y'all receive it this morning? How many of y'all received this morning? I want to encourage you right now. There's several levels this morning that I believe are happening. I want you to get the religious bondage issue today. But I want you to get the fasting teaching today. We're entering into this week, this coming week, I hope that you'll prepare your mind and your heart and your diet for some fasting over the next 7 days. As we begin on the ninth, be led of the Lord in that thing. Real quick, there are three types of biblical fasts. We'll be teaching on this again next Sunday with a great message. There's an absolute fast. That's the one that we're really not recommending. This is just mentioned here because it is scriptural. All right, but this is the one that must be divinely inspired and anointed, specifically anointed by God for you to pull off no water and no food for a period of time. We're not going to recommend that anybody participate in that in the life of the church. Number two, you have the normal fast. And as you're preparing for your fast, be praying and seeing how the Lord would have you do these things. Okay? Normal fast just means no food, only water and some liquids. Okay? It's called a normal fast. These are fasts that are demonstrated in Scripture. You're praying about how to fast and then what you're going to do over the course of the 21 days. Then you have number three, the partial fast. This is the fast that is most demonstrated in Scripture. It just means no delicacies. Okay? In the Daniel fast, the Daniel fast is part of a partial fast. It's what a lot of people participate in today. Demonstrated, there was no delicacies, no meats and sweets for a determined amount of time. Daniel demonstrated this type of fast on two different occasions. There's much you can know today about Daniel fasting. And so you might ask, well, what about this? How long should I fast? Well, there are various time frames mentioned in Scripture for these types of fast. Scripture talks about 1 day, 3 days, 7 days, 10 days, 21 days, even 40 days of fasting. Okay? Delegated times of fast. So as you pray and prepare for your fast, which ones will you choose? The religious background would have you think, well, I've got to struggle for 21 days. That's not true. Be led of the Lord. Maybe you want to fast a day your first week and 3 days the next week, and then in the third week, go 7 days. Whatever it is, you be led of the Lord in it. And here's the trick, guys. Here's the thing. Follow the Lord and don't be condemned if your fast doesn't look like someone else's fast. Y'all get this? That's the religious bonds trying to get on you and rob you from what God has for you during your time of fasting. He doesn't have condemnation for you. He's got freedom for you. Come on. Amen. Thank you, we're just dedicating 21 days to some periods of fasting. Okay. The main thing is this, and we're going to pray and be done today. Have y'all been edified today? Come on. Amen. Here's the main thing. Land on the fasting period and style that brings you to this point right here. Look at your screen. Y'all seeing this? Land on the fast that brings you to that right there. My soul yeah, thirsts for you, oh God. that's what you want to do. This coming week, guys, when you pray, seek the Lord, prepare. Land on the fast that brings you to that. My soul thirsts for you, oh God. This morning, as we close, I want us to take a couple of minutes and pray and ask God to lead us in our prayer. How many of you are expecting from God this new year? Come on, somebody. Are you beginning to think of the things that you want God to do in your life? Also think of the things that you believe God would have you do. But most importantly, think about your relationship to Him. Because if you're thirsting, some people thirst for ministry. Some people thirst for status. Some people thirst for this and that. Listen, the point is right here, I thirst for Jesus. And that's the point, guys. That's how this year is going to get started on the right foot, thirsting for Him. Y'all stand with me.